We present The Sound of Football.
Republic of Ireland, they're in Group B. They've got Russia, they've got Slovakia, Macedonia, Armenia, and Andorra. So that's pretty much most of Eastern and Central Europe taken care of there in the group.
It sounds like the final board of the Eurovision Song Contest.
I was just going to say, Slovakia, in what?
It's an East European stitch-up, I tell you.
Maybe for me, see, I'm just sort of hanging on to that wonderful image of Trevor Brooking hitting that shot from about 25 yards out and it getting jammed in the stanchion in that qualifier of the World Cup in England. Staunchion, sorry.
Staunchion, I think you're fine.
I've got to use the right terminology. Staunchion, I do. I stand corrected.
And it's a very warm welcome once again to another edition of The Sound of Football. Chris Oakley here. Once again, and I'm joined by Terry DeFellin and Graham Sibley. Welcome to the show, chaps. Once again, here we are. Another Monday night greets us for another podcast. Now, you may have expected at the weekend, it being Valentine's Day, for us to talk about the romance of the FA Cup. But we're going to save that. And if there's time, we may talk about the FA Cup fifth round nearer the end of the programme. However, we have more pressing issues to discuss because... there was a story that emerged, I saw in a newspaper earlier on today, which gets you thinking. It was an article I saw by David Conn in The Guardian, and if he's to be believed, and I see no reason why not, then there could be a change afoot as to the method by which the fourth best team in England qualifies for the Champions League. As you know, I'm sure, the top four teams in the Premier League go through to the Champions League the following season. However, Richard Scudamore, he of the Premier League, met up with Premier League chiefs in the last week or two for the sort of monthly meeting, and supposedly put a plan on the table which goes along the lines of, instead of just giving the fourth Champions League place to the team that finished fourth, that instead there should be a playoff of sorts, or some playoffs, involving the teams finishing fourth, fifth, sixth and seventh. Which, of course, would have all kinds of implications, presumably lots more revenue generated because TV, you know, across the world would probably be wanting to watch it and so on and so forth. All kinds of implications involved in that, which I think we will now go on to discuss. Let's start off with yourself, Graham, if I may, on this one. Now, this is the kind of bombshell to drop, which is bound to get lots of negative reaction, a bit sort of... revolutionary, perhaps a bit too revolutionary for some people's likings, but let's see if we can take a positive angle on this. What can you see from this plan of Scudamore's that could actually have a positive effect on teams qualifying for the Champions League from the Premier League?
Well, for teams themselves, obviously it gives the mid-table something to battle on to past January. Mm-hmm. Other than just avoiding relegation, which is the only thing that teams in the mid-table have got to worry about. Yeah. Other than that...
I've asked you the wrong question, haven't I?
I would be honestly struggling. I mean, yes, I can see the benefit for teams like Everton, Aston Villa, Tottenham, because all of a sudden it gives them the opportunity to perhaps take their foot off the gas and think, well, perhaps we can concentrate on the FA Cup a bit more, or maybe we can go for that League Cup win, because we know all we got to do is finish top seven rather than break our necks to finish in the top four. So yeah, I think there are some positives to be had, but I think the negatives largely outweigh those positives for me. What about you, Terry?
I was just going to say, and for the negatives, we go to you, Terry. Your time starts now.
Well, I think it might not be a bad idea.
We should have discussed this before we started, shouldn't we? I should have come to you first and then gone to Graham.
I think the obvious answer, the obvious problem with it is, of course, is that we've had this before in Holland, and it turned out that FC Twente qualified once with disastrous effect. So I think, I mean, if you look at last year's table, if the top three go through to the Champions League, and then there's 4, 5, 6, 7, Arsenal, Everton, Aston Villa, and Fulham. Now I don't know what would have happened had Fulham, who were on a fantastic run, if they had somehow won that if that was a mini playoff tournament, what would have happened if they'd won that and got into the Champions League?
Mm.
What kind of a sort of state would Fulham be in? Would they have actually got in? Mm. If they had got in, how long would they have lasted before they ended up just looking like a mangled piece of wreckage?
With all due disrespect.
With all due disrespect to Fulham. I realise I'm not making a very good case for arguing, you know, for it, but I'll come on to that later.
Worst case scenario, I suppose, admittedly, but you know, even so.
And I mean, because it's all about prudence this and finances that, isn't it?
Mm.
The modern Premier League. So the idea of a playoff could conceivably, you know, allow people to chase the dream even harder than they have been. You know, with conceivably disastrous consequences. I mean, can you imagine how much money Portsmouth would have spent
if they'd had this?
So actually, yeah, I think it's a terrible idea. I'm going to change my mind. I like the idea of it because I do like the idea of a postseason. I have argued privately, not publicly, for the formation of a Premier League postseason. But if I had my way, the title would be decided in a kind of NHS style postcode lottery, and NHL style playoff format. But I mean, this is coming from a supporter of a football club that doesn't play in the Premier League, so I can look at the Premier League like it's some kind of plaything. You know, I don't. I mean, I'm not particularly remotely. I'm a Palace supporter. You know, these matters are of no concern to me, so I can look at it with a degree of, you know, with saying, ah, wouldn't it be funny if they did this? And they all had to wear silly hats, you know, and stuff like that. But I think that this idea is probably mildly desperate in order to generate additional revenue for the Premier League and for the Premier League clubs. It'll add extra fixtures onto the season, which I think will be unwanted. It could be the backdoor to the 39th game principle of, well, let's have the playoffs, you know, in far-off lands and stuff like that. So I think there's a lot to dislike about it, but there is something strangely attractive about the notion as well. Do you not find something strangely attractive about it, chaps?
Well, yeah, but I think if you do have one, right, it's going to come right at the end of the season. So what, is it going to come the week after the FA Cup? So at the FA, so you're going to have the FA Cup that is going to decide a Europa League spot, and then you're going to follow it with the Champions League playoff final.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the FA Cup, forget about it. It'll blow the FA Cup right out of the water. I mean, the Championship playoff is already in danger of doing that anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were going to get really blue sky about it, I think there's a very strong argument for awarding the Europa League spot that goes to the champion, to the FA Cup, to the Champions League playoff finalist. But that's probably a little bit too whacked out.
But you might have done enough from winning that game anyway.
That game is worth, what, 20, 25, 30 million pounds, isn't it, that Championship playoff final? You know, the Champions League playoff final would completely blow the FA Cup out of the water. Why would you? This would be the, and you're right, they would have to. It's the evil empire at work. It's like, you know, we know what's left of the FA Cup. We're not satisfied that the FA Cup has been reduced to largely an irrelevance.
Yeah, just anecdotal, you know, sort of.
Yeah, and false notions of romance. We want to destroy it utterly and replace it with our own version.
Yeah.
But it could backfire badly on them and affect their coefficient. I mean, we talked about this last year. We said if Everton and Villa, you know, had qualified for the Champions League, how well would they do? You know, we'd say, well, they probably might do okay, but it's conceivable that they would never have actually got in. You know, it's a tough thing to qualify for.
The biggest fear that really should stop people from the clubs from actually voting for it is the fact that if you get weaker teams in Europe, then there is every chance that our coefficient will drop.
It just undermines the national. Yeah,
yeah.
It's not like the playoffs for promotion and relegation within your league, because it doesn't matter how badly the team that comes off in the playoffs does. You'll always have three teams coming up from the Championship
There's no broader coefficient to worry about.
No,
sort
exactly.
Of like for your league.
As far as we're concerned in England, is the fact that, you know, if our four teams aren't that good in Europe, then we lose one of those places, and this is what Italy's going to have to face up maybe in the next season or so.
Yes,
but if you're Stoke or you're Wigan why would you vote against this plan? Apart from, I mean, I suppose one option might be the sheer finances of it. Say, well, look, we can't afford to play in the Champions League, so no, we don't want to compete. But why would, I mean, this is going to be a money-spinning, revenue-raising exercise. If you're Stoke or Bolton or Wigan or West Ham even, why would you vote against this? Why would you not think this is a good idea?
Well, yes, as you say, it comes down, I think, purely and simply down to the generating of more money. That's the subtext of the thing.
Yeah, it is very interesting because this decision could, I mean, like the whole Game 39 thing was something that clubs could see it as a positive benefit for all of them. But this is quite sort of divisive. There are going to be clubs in there that are going to think, actually, no, we like things the way they are. And there are going to be other clubs in there that say, actually, we like this idea. And so it could have a very, very, very serious implication for the Premier League.
Well, we're assuming that the established big four as we understand them, Man United, Liverpool, Chelsea and Arsenal, are going to be opposed to this idea.
Well, I was just going to say, the for those people listening in and thinking, oh, this is all just pie in the sky, it's all it'll never happen, the suggestion was put forward to the 20 clubs and 16 of the 20 have actually said, we like this idea, go away Mr. Scudamore, and come back at the April meeting with some fleshed out ideas. And I wonder if, ladies and gentlemen at home, if you can guess which four teams actually were opposed to it. Yes, it was Liverpool, Arsenal, Man United and Chelsea. So the thing is, in order for any kind of plan to be any plan to be carried out, they need a 14-6 majority, and the way it's looking, they're probably going to get it.
Going to get it by with a bit of a margin to spare as well. Yeah. I mean, Graham, you're an Arsenal fan. What do you think? I mean, you're as an Arsenal fan, you're as directly affected as anybody, any fan can be by this.
I suppose it's really going to be Arsenal and Liverpool that are the most likely to lose out on this because they're the ones who are finishing outside of the top two quite regularly.
Well, at the moment you are, but then Manchester United are going to have to sell Rooney probably in the summertime, aren't they?
Well, no, yeah,
they're not going to be able to readily replace him, so I wouldn't make that assumption going forward.
The ironic thing is that supposedly the whole idea behind this is to create a bit more variation because the same four teams are qualifying for the Champions League every year, and yet now they put forward this idea in the year when Liverpool are quite clearly below par and looking like they probably won't even get fourth place. Well, they might get fourth place, but I wouldn't put any money on Liverpool getting fourth place. So it's kind of ironic that they're putting this forward now, to be perfectly honest. But
Well, I was a bit suspicious about that, but I don't know. I mean, are we looking into that? Are we reading too much into that? That maybe this is just some kind of...
I think, obviously, like Scudamore's looking around for ideas, otherwise he would never have come up with the whole 39 thing, really. I think it's a worrying idea because of the fact that it's divisive and it's self-defeating. And I think as well, if people are worried about the bigger clubs breaking away and forming a European Super League, it's these sort of decisions that are going to push them.
It's going to hinge on things like this.
Yeah, exactly. People say Man United, they're riding the crest at the moment, but their house is built on sand. But they've got such following. If they do leave English football with Liverpool and Chelsea and Arsenal. And you can read the blogs you like and say, yeah, good, right, sod off, see what we care. But that just basically turns what the Premier League is now into what the Championship is.
Absolutely, I go along with it. Terry?
Yes.
Your thoughts on that? I
think that it seems like not a desperate act, but it does seem ill-conceived, what you're saying, Graham, is you think that this is some kind of sucker to the bigger clubs to stop them from forming a
no. I think it's driving them to it. I think it's sort of. I don't know, mate, whether it's the other Premier League clubs. I don't know whether it's indicative of the other 16 Premier League clubs saying, look, you don't have as much power as you think. Look, we can make decisions about the way the Premier League is run. And you can't do anything about it.
So what you're saying is that if it turns out that the majority of the Premier League end up doing something that the minority, albeit very powerful minority, don't like, that this will then compel them or make them think, well, you know what, why don't we get together with our European buddies and form our own league? Is that what you think?
Yeah, I mean, the way I see it, it's kind of like, unwittingly, it's going to end up driving a wedge between the top three and everybody else, to the point where after probably a few years, the top three clubs are just going to say, well, look, you know, we're effectively in a little competition. They're in a competition on their own anyway, probably, but it's kind of going to end up highlighting and underlining the fact that everyone else just doesn't come up to the same scratch as the top three. Right. And as you say, that's Graham, they'll just end up sort of saying, well, actually, maybe it'd be an idea if we go off and play with the other big boys from around Europe.
Can I just divert slightly from that then? Who here thinks that a European Super League is inevitable?
I don't think it's inevitable. About that at all.
Not as much as was the case since the sort of expansion of the Champions League.
I think clubs like Inter, Juve, and Milan are quite happy. Thank you very much. Being one of the top three clubs in their own league, and then playing a bit of European football midweek, and I think you'll probably find the same with Bayern as well. They quite like being a very big fish in their pond. And the thought of Bayern Munich finishing sort of like 15th in a European super table probably doesn't sit too well with them.
No, they wouldn't like that at all.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I don't think Liverpool fans would like that. And you can say what you like about the fact that you know, fans want to go down and talk about their rivals that down in their workplace or down the cafes or the pubs. But really, when it comes down to it, you support a big club because you want to beat lots of other people.
And I think the way that the financial situation is going anyway, I mean, the thought of kind of having a club that's exclusively plays matches only, you know, around the continent, I mean, you know,
it's too much of a risk in this day and age. It'll be many years before anybody comes up goes ahead with that idea. So I'm not certain that the danger of the breakaway. I think that maybe the bigger clubs would then, playing devil's advocate here, I think the bigger clubs may go, well, we don't like this, we may sod off and do our own thing. I don't know, to an extent, I don't know whether it's wise to call their bluff, but I have a feeling that could be a bluff. I'm not sure that they would actually do
Rangers
that,
because the economic circle away with it for long enough, haven't they?
Well, that doesn't mean that it's not a bluff. It just means that people, you know, are stupid enough to listen to what they say. But I don't think that. Well, I suppose you could always include Rangers and Celtics in this whole playoff thing, couldn't you? Oh no, that's going too mad, isn't it? But nevertheless, the you can see the attraction of having this sort of.
It's a very exciting format.
There is no doubt that a playoff sort of end of season playoff would be an attractive proposition, and the TV would lap it up.
Oh yeah, no question about it. But in terms of our future, English football's future on the European stage, it's risky. Although in terms of the coefficient, we're well ahead. I mean, it's going to be a long time before we lose that fourth spot.
We're going to have some rubbish seasons.
But you can see
the position that Italy at the moment, and they are on the cusp of losing it.
They are indeed. After only a few years. Yeah, no, it doesn't take long. You're right. Nevertheless, there is perhaps. You can see why the attraction, and it may only last one year, and it will just die of death, or will last 3 years, depending on the TV contract, and then, you know, then die a death. But I suspect the thing is, though, I mean, we might have to gird ourselves for the fact that this is going to happen. If it is as we believe, then this may well happen. We might just have to sort of like live with it. But I suppose it's a consensus here is amongst us is that we think generally it's a. Although it seems like an attractive notion, it's probably a bad idea.
I mean, boiling it down, if I speak on behalf of the purists and the traditionalists here, I mean, boiling it down to its basic sort of level, I just think it just seems somehow wrong, actually, that a team finishing potentially seventh can appear in a Champions League. It just doesn't
The same arguments have been levelled against the
championship
promotion playoffs, haven't they?
Yeah, exactly. And indeed, you know, and it's been proven that in fact the wrong kind of team does go up into the Premier League. The team that finishes seventh in the Championship is seriously ill-equipped to go and play in the Premier League the next season.
Yeah.
They're not ready to. They don't even know they're going up until June, you know. And so they've got a tiny squad, and it's usually a journeyman Championship squad that's been galvanised by a Svengali manager, you know, and Ian Dowie, Crystal Palace recently, Adey Boothroyd, Boothroyd, Watford. There are other examples, and it's just been an absolute disaster. And a financial disaster as well. Both of those clubs are now, after one season recently in the Premier League, are now in deep, deep doo-doo. Palace in administration, Watford near as damn it as in administration. And it was only through the philanthropy, I believe, of one of the board members that they're not in administration. So, you know, this isn't necessarily going to happen here, but it could do. You could have a situation where a team makes a last dash for that last playoff space. The momentum carries them through. You've got teams like Tottenham and Villa and Everton who've had long, hard seasons. You know, getting into the quarterfinals of the League Cup, quarterfinals of the FA Cup. They're knackered. They're not up for the fight. And then suddenly Wigan pop up. Next thing you know, they're in the Champions League. And then what happens to them then? You know, there's no assistance for transition. They'll have to just do it. They'll either have to spend lots and lots of money in the hope that they can get in and stay in, or they won't.
Yeah,
in
which case, it'll be a total waste of and hope that fixes the problem.
The Premier League wants to be the Champions League. It wants to be the reason why it changed its name from the Premiership to the Premier League is because it is for international audiences. It's like there's your league. And then there's the Premier League. There's the Champions League, and there's the Premier League. And it's like, this is the global league, where all the best players come here in the best market, in front of the best supporters, in front of the best atmospheres. That's their spiel. That's what they say. They want... So they don't give a monkeys about what happens to these clubs if they go into the Champions League. They just want to improve the spectacle that is the Premier League. Yeah. And a long championship running plus a playoff at the end of it is the best of both worlds as far as they're concerned.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, yes, indeed. And as you, I'm not sure which of the two of you said it earlier, it might be you, Terry. I mean, it's undeniable the fact that it would make that whole kind of mid-table mediocrity thing suddenly spring to life because there's suddenly something to play for. And there's certainly a case for the fact that that's, you know, from maybe sort of eighth place downwards, you can just, there's just nothing for any of those teams to sort of play for other than maybe avoiding relegation. But so it does add a competitive edge, and it gives an extra little kind of glint to the whole Premier League package, as you say, as it's perceived around the world. I mean, there is I think I'm right in saying that when they tried this over in Holland, there were reservations about even things like crowd trouble, you know, on the playoffs, because there was such a lot hanging on those matches, crowd trouble, and whether maybe because of the way that the teams involved were seeded, whether it's too one-sided. So, it could be problematic, but I think... the impression I get is that if people sort of think it through, they'll actually sort of think, actually, let's give it a try because of the interest that playoffs would generate, really. But obviously, as I say, at this stage, there's no specifics written down in terms of how they would format these playoffs, whether it would be home and away knockout games or seedings or whatever. But I think we'll hear more about that nearer April when Scudamore go back.
They might do a sort of fourth place gets a bye through to the final, like they do with the A-League, where you sort of fourth place plays, first place effectively plays second place, and the winner goes straight through to the final, and then the loser plays the winner of the third and fourth place down.
I don't know if they do.
They might do something like that, or they might just make it a straight playoff. Well, I suppose it depends on how much money they want to make, and it depends on how much they leverage they can squeeze out of the fixtures as well, because you're right, there is a colossal calendar issue going on here. When are these games going to be played, especially in an even numbered year when there's a tournament to be played? It's a scheduling nightmare. But again, I don't suppose that this is something that they're too fussed about at the moment. It's incredibly intriguing, and I'm really interested to see how it works out.
I think it's a far more interesting idea than the whole Game 39 thing. I think this is something that certainly. I mean, like, you know, we've been talking about it for 25 minutes. It shows you the fact that it is worth contemplating, and it is worthy of the idea, but. There are serious reservations to be made, and not just the fact that, like, you know, I'm an Arsenal fan and I think, well, actually, like, we finished fourth in, like, you know, three seasons out of the last four. It could be our season having to go through an end of season playoff.
Yes,
but you know, frankly, you know, there has been, you know, in a lot of seasons, not recently, there has been huge gulfs. I mean, you're looking at. I think I was reading today, I think it was in the Fiver, I think it was, about the fact that there was 18 points between 7th and 4th in a couple of seasons.
It's a huge
gulf. Like in 2006, I think in 2001. Now, I don't know, I haven't got the figures in front of me, but I would have imagined that most seasons, between 7th and 1st, there's going to be like something like about 30 points.
Maybe
closer to 40 even.
Yeah,
that's just a gulf of difference, isn't it? Really,
it's mind-boggling, isn't it? Yeah, it's almost another league within the league, and this is what they say, isn't it? There's possibly three leagues in the Premier League, and there's the top, there's the middle, and there's the bottom.
But I think also as well is the fact that the other clubs in the Premier League can't forget is that while they're feeding from the trough, they owe so much to basically to Man United and Liverpool. Because it's those two clubs that are bringing in everyone.
Yeah, the rest of the world. Yeah, because of their global support. Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, Chelsea particularly, because, you know, although they've got the money, they don't have anything like that kind of global appeal. And yeah, they do. And I mean, Premier League clubs feed. You know, they do. They profit from. You know that. Yeah. Manchester United and Liverpool, and it's never something that you want to admit, but you do have to acknowledge it. It's that history and that culture that they have. You know. That you know, everybody benefits from. I mean, we're sitting here recording this podcast about English football, knowing that people are listening to it, and people listen to it from all over the world, largely because many of them are Man United and Liverpool fans, you know, and that's how they got into it. And you know, it would be foolish. What do we think that Manchester City think of this? Do they like the idea of this because it gives them a better chance of getting in, or would they rather just simply, if you look at it as a closed shop, which I know it isn't, but if you look at it as a closed shop, they would rather just gain entry at the expense of someone else and then not run the risk of a playoff?
If they're in fourth spot come April, which way do you think they'll
be well, voting? I mean, yeah, I think that's a fairly straightforward question. Yeah, no, of course. But I mean, I was just curious because they're new on there, and you've got Tottenham who have spent big as well on their building a new stadium. Is this to an extent a concession from the Premier League thinking there's an awful lot more money being invested in there? We need to give the other clubs outside of the top four a chance to have a crack at the Champions League. Otherwise, they may withdraw their investment and thereby undervalue the league. I wonder if there's that also that's driving them towards this sort of Villa, Randy Lerner and whoever the hell the people running Tottenham are and the Abu Dhabi group will say, well, look, sod this for a game of soldiers, we can't get in the Champions League, so we're not going to bother trying, you know, and we'll just settle down and potter around in the Europa League and maybe try and win the FA Cup from time to time and then make the Premier League an even duller league. It is already, excuse me for saying that, but you know.
Right, and ironically, as you say, if you get a situation where, heaven forbid, and again with all due disrespect, a team like Fulham or even a Tottenham or whatever gets into the Champions League, is that going to sort of dilute the major lure of the Premier League as it's perceived around the world? Because if they're hanging on to their Man Uniteds and Liverpools and Arsenals or whatever, then if you suddenly bring in a team like that from the second tier, if you like, within the Premier League, is that maybe going to have an impact? Is it going to kind of lessen the appeal of the Premier League around the world? There's all sorts of implications here.
You could maybe go mad if, thinking about it, couldn't you?
Maybe not if it's Tottenham or
no, Willem. Not so much with Tottenham.
But, certainly not
but
with Tottenham,
maybe
no.
If it's Wigan or
Fulham. Well, exactly. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Exactly, yeah. Fantastic.
Well, do you know, I think that's probably a good point to break off from that particular conversation. I think we've given it a good raking over, as it were. And I'm sure in the coming weeks we'll find out whether this plan is a goer or not, or whether it's dead in the water. But as things progress, if they do progress, we'll be discussing them further in the weeks to come. You can be sure of that. There was FA Cup fifth round stuff going on at the weekend, but suffice to say, a lot of the games finished in draws, including your own Crystal Palace there, Terry, as well, who did well to get a draw there against Aston Villa, 2-2. But I think it's probably wise for us to wrap up at this point. What do you reckon?
Yeah, let's do that.
Absolutely. Needless to say, we'll give you the usual housekeeping stuff here. There's a final call for Socrates, our football bloggers meetup, tomorrow night. Or probably tonight, as you're hearing this. It might be a bit late for you. But if you go to the Socrates blog site, if you type in Socrates football bloggers meetup in Google, you'll find the website, all the details there. If you are a blogger or if you're involved in podcasts, football podcasts, anything like that, do get in touch with us. You may just about be able to come along if you're very quick. As well as that, of course, as regards the Sound of Football, you can catch us on Sound of Football blog site, the Facebook fan page, some people on the pitch, the Onion Bag, all the pointers are there. And as our friend Captain RJ Spaulding remind us during the week, we have an email address. Forgot that. We set one up in the first week, I think it was. If you want to drop us a line, sofpodcast@googlemail.com. If you want to email us and tell us how well we're doing or not, as the case may be, or if there's anything you want us to discuss, get in touch with us. There's plenty of facilities there if you look for them. But for now, I think that's it for show 27 of The Sound of Football. Thank you very much indeed for joining us. Hope you can join us again next week. But for now, from myself and from Terry and from Graham, it's goodbye.
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 And now it's time for Soccer Yens.
Hello. May I have a pee, please, Bob? Yes, a pee. It's right there, next to the queue. Dummkopf.
Tune in next week for another exciting episode of Soccer Yens.